you raise your Bibles or your phones, whatever you use to connect to the Word of God, we're going to do this confession. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I will have what it says I will have.
Living our vision every day. We will connect with our Creator continually. We will confess our deliverance consistently. We will commit to serve creatively. Amen. We will communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed elect lady. Your word. With your Bible still in the air, we're going to stretch them towards her. Father God, we thank you for elect lady. We ask that you give her the wisdom, the strength, the patience, the grace, the comfort, and everything else that she needs to bring the word that you've given to her, Father. We ask that you let the words come out of her mouth as you've instructed her, Father, and let her be comfortable. Let her know that we are supporting her, and let her know that what you've given to her, she can only give right back out. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm honored to be here on this morning, and I just praise God for who he is, and I praise him for everything that he has done in and through my life. And so I'm just going to have a brief word of prayer. Father God, I want you to anoint this word. Thank you for everyone present, God. I decrease that you might increase in me. And Father, I want you to move by your power and your anointing. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Now, the thought that the Lord gave me was reset. And it was around the beginning of the year. And I kept thinking, reset, reset. But it kept staying with me. And just here in March, we had to reset our clocks for daylight savings time. Because if we don't reset our clocks, we won't get anywhere on time. Amen? So let's define reset. Reset is an act or instance of setting, adjusting, or fixing something in a new or different way. It's something that is set again. And if all of us would be totally honest, we all need a reset. We are 3 months into the new year, and some of us have lost the excitement, the drive that we had in January. We made vows to the Lord, and now some of them are forgotten. We give the Lord a lot of excuses, but he knows us inside out, and he knows the very intents of our hearts. When I say, Lord, I need a reset, I'm just saying, Lord, bring me back to you. Restore the joy, the peace, and the excitement that I once had when I first got saved, when I first started seeking you. Restore unto me that joy of being in your presence. Amen. And so I'm going to, before we get into the scripture, I'm just going to give you some reasons why we need a reset. And see, the scripture says, you did run well, but who hindered you? And most of the time, we're our own worst enemy. We hinder ourselves because we follow our own will rather than allowing the Spirit to lead us. Amen. The first thing I'm going to talk about is depression. If you're depressed all of the time, And depression is real. A lot of people suffer from depression. But when you constantly battle depression, the problem is you are focusing more on what the enemy is telling you in your mind more than what God is saying. The word says, I will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on him. Amen. He told us to cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. And see, we can't fix it. The enemy makes you think you can fix it, but you can't. And the first thing that people do when they are depressed, the first thing they cut off, they stop coming to church because they think they can fix it on their own. And see, when you do that, you fail to realize there's somebody in the assembly that can give you a hug, give you a word of encouragement that will carry you through that next week. Just say something or give you a smile, or somebody may make you laugh, and that'll lift some of that heaviness off of you. Amen. Let's go to the next one. Some of us are hooked on social media. And social media, it's a good tool for information, for checking on your family that live out of town and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And see, my kids put me on Facebook because I didn't know nothing about it when it first, you know, came out. But Facebook is not for comparing yourselves with other people. It's not for you looking at the comments and trying to compare yourself with what others think about you. It's not about that. It's about what does God think about me? Amen. And oftentimes I see posts, and sometimes the saints will post up scriptures, and then the next thing I know, they posting up profanity. It's a disconnect somewhere. Amen. And see, they will post up words of profanity when somebody pushes their buttons. And see, if you're trying to get back at people on Facebook, you need a reset. Because the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He said he will repay. And so you have to let some of this petty stuff go. I don't measure myself by Facebook. Why? Because I know who I am and whose I am. Amen? Amen? Let's go to the next one. Undisciplined. We all lack discipline in our lives. I'll be the first to raise my hand. And some of us lack discipline in our eating habits. And see, when you're undisciplined, it will affect every area of your life. Some of us are late habitually to church. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Some of us think church starts at 11:30 or 12 noon. And some take the attitude, they ought to be glad I came anyway. You know, but you're not coming for us. When you come on time, you're coming as an act of worship. And, you know, we don't go to court. You better not show up in court late. You don't go to the doctor late. You don't go get your hair done late. But we give all these excuses and we say, God knows my heart. And he does. And that's the last I'm going to say about that. Amen. The next one is disobedience. Sometimes we are willfully disobedient, and this will hinder our blessings. And we know right from wrong. We know what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And I'm going to give you an example. When I was about 17 years old, I was a candy striper. And I asked my mom the night before, can I go candy striping? And the candy striper just passed out ice water to the patients. and we would sometimes straighten out their bedside table or go to the gift shop if they wanted to get candy or something. We would just run errands. So the night before, my mama said, I don't think you should go. But listen, I'm doing a good thing. It's not like I was going partying or something like that. But mama said, don't go. Well, the next day, Saturday, when we were going candy striping, I allowed my friend, who I thought was my good friend, to coerce me into going candy striping. She said, Joyce, we can go while they're at work, and we can get back before your mama gets home. Okay. So I listened to that, and that sounded good, because I really wanted to go. And so you had to get so many hours being a candy striper. Because, see, I really wanted to be a nurse. And so Diane's brother had a fairly new car. That was my friend's name. He had a fairly new car. And so they picked me up, and we were on our way to the hospital. But guess what happened? On the way to the hospital, some lady was drinking happy juice early in the morning, and we got in a horrible accident. Now, this was before seatbelts. We got hit broadside on the passenger side. Then the other car that was coming this way stopped just before it got to us. It could have been fatal. They had to end up calling my mom from work to meet me at the hospital. But God blessed me, blessed Diane also. Glass was everywhere. This whole thigh was green from the impact. It was green for about 2 weeks. And we had, neither one of us had any broken bones, but we were disobedient. And I praise God today, because I would not even be standing here today. Because if the other car that was going from north to south, if they hadn't have stopped, it would have been horrible. And see, at that time, they didn't have the jaws of life and all the equipment they had. They had to use something like a crowbar and yank us out the car. And then when we finally seen the car, I was in the back seat, Diane was in the front seat, and her brother was the driver. The back seat looked like a teepee. And I said, Lord, I thank you. But guess what? Sister Mitchell caught the revelation. See, sometimes, young people, when your parents tell you no, they don't know why they're telling you no. My mama told me no. You know, and I thought, well, she didn't have a good reason because I was just doing a good thing. But I could have gotten killed, but I had a praying mama. And see, their prayers will protect you from a lot of incidents, a lot of mishaps. Right. Amen? Amen? So God is good. And so I exhort you, be obedient to your parents. The Bible says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And obey them so that you may have long life. They have young Cassidy as well as old. And it's just because sometimes plain disobedience. Amen? All righty, we're going to the next one. We need a reset sometimes because we have an attitude of complacency. God has been good to us, but we refuse to share our gifts, our talents with the ministry. Some of us are just content to come and attend church every Sunday, but we don't want to get involved. We don't want to help out. We don't want to do anything. But we want the pastor to pray. We want everybody to do everything for us. Amen? And we need to act upon whatever God has given you. Sometimes God may show you a need in the ministry, and it's for you to act upon it. Speak to the pastor, speak to Lady Devin. It's for you to act upon it. Amen? Amen. All right. Another reason we need a reset, Some people are having marital and relationship issues. Now, I'm not talking about celebrities because they divorce over irreconcilable differences. It could be anything, whatever they're doing. But I'm talking about believers. And many people have issues because they refuse to humble themselves. And if you're unequally yoked with somebody you wasn't supposed to be with anyway, you're going to have issues. Amen? But my issue is, if you saved and he saved and he say he loved God and you love God, why can't y'all get along? Somebody has to humble themselves. It takes two to argue. Amen? And the Bible says, don't even let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to bed angry, because you don't know if either one of you are going to wake up in the morning. Amen? So this is why you got to get it straight. Keep it straight. Keep it straight as you go. Amen? Okay, the next reason we need a reset is unforgiveness. A lot of people deal with unforgiveness in their past, and they need to ask God, Lord, show me how to let go of this hurt, this pain, this bitterness, this trauma. Show me how to let it go. And I read something not too long ago. It was a survey called the Forgiveness Project. And it said that 61% of men and 59% of women get cancer, but it's related just to unforgiveness. And see, the word tells us we need to forgive and we shall be forgiven. When you look at all that Jesus done for you, he was hung up for every one of your hang-ups. And you mean you can't forgive? And see, that forgiveness is hurting you on the inside. See, unforgiveness is like me drinking poison, but I expect you to die. No, that poison is hurting me. Amen? Okay. Now we're going to go to the book of Luke. But I'm just going to give you a little background in the first the book. We're going to start in the middle of the chapter. And it's a familiar scripture, but I'm just going to give you a little background about the first few verses of St. Luke. Well, in this chapter, the scribes and the Pharisees, they wanted to know why Jesus received and ate with sinners. Why is he always with these sinners? So Jesus taught them. He taught them in parables so that they can understand. And see, a parable is just a short story that's teaching a truth. And so in the first part of the scriptures, he was telling the men, he said, now look, if you got 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, won't you go out and find that one sheep? And they were listening. And he said, when you find that one sheep, you're going to rejoice. And so Jesus said, there is more rejoicing over one sinner that repents than 99 righteous who do not need to repent. He also began to talk about a lady that had 10 coins. She lost one in the house. And she swept it, she garnished it until she found it. And I know me, if I lose a dollar, a couple dollars, I'm looking everywhere. And some of you all, if you be honest, if you lose that phone, you ain't going to rest till you find that cell phone. All right? And so Jesus was telling the Pharisees. He told them, there is more rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And see, there is absolutely nothing that you can do, nothing so bad that you can do that'll stop the Lord from loving you. There's nothing that you can do. So now we're going to go to the scripture, and Sister Kelly's going to read for me. Amen. Go ahead. Oh, she doesn't have a mic.
Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons.
Amen. This is the parable of the prodigal son. It's a well-known parable. And there was a man that had two sons. Okay, read on. Amen. And so during this time, the younger man said, Daddy, I want my inheritance. I'm not going to wait till you die. I want my money now, and I want all of it. And see, during this period of time, the younger brother only got a third of the inheritance, and the older brother would get two-thirds. So the younger brother said, I got to get out of here. I need my money. Amen. Let's read the next verse.
Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living.
Okay, this younger son, he got his money. He said, I'm going to a far country. I'm going to party. I'm going to do everything I want to do. But guess what? His money ran out. He squandered his money. Okay, read on.
After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need.
Okay, after he had spent all of his money, there was a famine in the land. And he began to be in severe need. Read the next one.
So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs.
So he said, I'm in a bad situation, so I'm going to get me a job. He got a job feeding the pigs. Now, this is pretty low for somebody that had everything in his father's house. Amen. Read the next one.
He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything.
So he got so hungry, he wanted to eat what the pigs was eating, but didn't nobody even offer him anything. So he was in bad shape. And you know, when you get pretty hungry, you'll do almost anything. In the Old Testament, Esau got so hungry, he sold his birthright. So sometimes when you get really, really hungry, many things can happen. You'll steal, you'll do a lot of stuff. Okay? Read the next one.
When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death.
So he began to think back in his mind. My daddy got servants. They got food. They got bread. They got donkeys. They got meat. They got vegetables. They got everything. And here I am starving. Read the next one.
I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you.
So he said, he thought about all that he left. He said, listen, the King James says, I'm going to rise. I'm going to get up from here, and I'm going back home to my father. Because my father got everything I need. He began to remember all the blessings that he had back home. Read the next one.
I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.
Amen. He was thinking in his mind all that he had. And the beautiful thing about this son, he said, But I'm going to repent to daddy. I'm going to go back and I'm going to repent. I'm going to tell him, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. And just make me a worker. Make me one of your hired servants. Because I'm not even worthy. I'm not even worthy to be a son. I'm not worthy for all the wrong that I've done, all the sin I've committed. I am not worthy. But I'm getting up and I'm going home. And you know, sometimes when people get, I've seen young people, when they graduate, they get up and they leave. And sometimes if you leave and you're not prepared to leave, and you've never been, you come from a small town like Muncie, and you've never been in a big city, sometimes when you get in the big city, life happens. As the young people say, life be lifin'. And y'all got to come back home. But sometimes pride won't allow you to come back home. Amen. And then you begin to suffer want. Read on.
So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him.
And you know what? I imagine this father had been looking for this son for years. The scripture doesn't tell you how long the boy had been gone. But I imagine every day the father would look out looking for his son. And so the son said, I'm going home. And he was on his way. But the father saw him afar off. And I'm sure by him working with the pigs, he wasn't real fresh. But it said the father hugged him, kissed him, showed compassion upon him, loved on him. He didn't start telling me everything you did. You shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have been here. But he showed him love. And see, the love of this father depicts the love of our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is constantly wooing us, constantly telling us, won't you come? Won't you worship me? Won't you serve me? Won't you honor me? Come unto me, all ye that are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Amen. Read the next one.
The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.
And the son repented to the father. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. And I'm not even worthy to be a son. Okay, but read the next one.
But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet.
The father didn't even listen to the repentance. He got his servants. Get the best robe. Get the best I got. Get my ring. You know where the ring is at? Go get the ring. And put this robe on him. Put this on my son. Because my son was lost and now he is found. Amen. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. The father said, we're going to have a party. Because I've been looking for this boy. I've been longing for this boy. I didn't know if he was dead, and I didn't know if he was alive. But now that he's home, we will celebrate. And see, the Lord celebrates when one sinner repents. When one person says, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Amen. Read the next one.
For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate.
He was so happy about his son. He said, my son was lost. He's found now. And we're going to celebrate. And we're going to celebrate big time. We're getting the balloons out. We're getting everything. We celebrate. It's a huge celebration. Amen.
Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing.
Okay, so the older son was out in the field, and he hears all this music and all this dancing, and he wondered, what is happening here? Read the next one.
So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on.
The older boy, he called the servant and said, I don't understand what's all this commotion in the house. And so the servant told him.
Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.
Okay, so the servant told him, he said, listen, your younger brother is here. Your daddy's throwing a party. He's killed the fatted calf. And we celebrating because your younger brother is here. Okay, read the next one.
The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him.
Okay, so look at the attitude of the older brother. The older brother became angry. And some of the other translations say he was absolutely furious that his brother had been found. And here they are throwing a party for the brother. See, you can be lost. The older brother didn't go nowhere, but he was actually lost in the house. Mm-hmm. You can come to church every Sunday and be lost in the house because you don't have the right heart attitude. Right. Amen?
Amen.
Read on.
But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends.
Okay, now look at the attitude of this brother. He said, Daddy, I've been serving you all these years. I kept all the rules, did everything right. And here, this brother comes home. You throw him a party. You ain't never thrown me a party. But the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. He probably didn't ask for a party. Let's see the reply. The next scripture.
But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.
Now look at the attitude of this elder brother. And when I read that, I have read this passage many times, but he said, this son of yours, he act like this ain't even my brother. You know, now I'm sure by him being his biological brother, they ate breakfast together. They probably slept in the same bed. They played together. But he said, this son of yours, you gave him a party. And see, this was in the New Testament. But if this elder brother had done that in the Old Testament back in Exodus or Deuteronomy, he'd have got stoned to death because that was the law. He would have got stoned, graveyard dead. But here he is defying the father because you didn't defy the father in that era. Amen. Read on.
My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours.
And see, here the father had to go out and plead with this elder brother to come into the party. And he was trying to say to him, all I got is yours. All this land, all this property, all my inheritance, everything is yours. And the Lord is telling us, everything is yours. All I want you to do is come unto me. Come and sup with me. Come and have relationship with me. Because everything I got belongs to you. A cattle on 1,000 hills is yours.
Yes.
Read on. Is that the last scripture? Okay, that was the last scripture. But the father was trying to tell him, I've got everything you need. Everything. Everything I have belongs to you. And see, the scripture doesn't even, we don't hear any more about the older brother, you know, after that point. We don't hear any more. But the older brother was just in just as bad a shape as the younger brother when he left. Because the older brother was filled with envy, jealousy, strife. He was filled with all these emotions. And he could have been jealous that the younger brother had the guts to say, "Daddy, I'm getting out of here. I want all my money." He could have been jealous for that point. But I said, God is good. But I had never read that where he said, "This son of yours," like he ain't even my brother. God is an awesome God. He's awesome. And so now I'm going to tell you how to maintain a reset. A reset is just, Lord, bring me back to you. Amen. Okay, the first R in reset. It stands for repent, be renewed, be restored. All you got to do is say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Show me what to do. Show me how to do. Show me when to do it, God. I'm coming back to you just as I am. And that's all God wants us to do. E. Expect a change in your life. Once you get out of sin, expect God to bless you. And he will. And on yesterday, Sister Ruthie and I went to the hospital to visit a couple of people. And we went to visit Kevin Benford that belongs here. And that young man blessed our socks off. He was not complaining about being in the hospital. He wasn't complaining about his situation. He began to testify to us of all that God had done for him. And I was so encouraged after talking to him. And we encouraged him to, you write your story down. Put it in a book, because you got a lot to tell. And he was even saying how, I don't even want to be around people with negativity, negative energy, you know. And he was so positive. And he says, I just got blessed with an electric wheelchair. And when I get things situated, I'm coming back to church. And see, he's going to have to come in his wheelchair. But some of y'all got two good legs and live in close proximity to church. You won't come, nor will you be on time. But that's enough of that. But it was a blessing for me just to hear Kevin Benford. And he was talking about how I pray for you and Pastor. I pray for you every night. And it was so, so encouraging. So encouraging. God is an awesome God. But expect change in your life. Expect God to do it. Expect him to move on your behalf. Because he said, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall. He didn't say it might be done. He didn't say I'm going to think about it. He said it shall be done. Yes. Amen. Amen. The S in reset stands for seek him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. He didn't say seek money, seek job, seek fame. He said seek him first. And see, we make it hard to seek him, but it's really not. You seek him in prayer. You seek him in fasting. And a lot of people say, well, I don't have time to pray. You don't have time in this day and age not to pray. So much that is coming on the world. So many things are changing. You must pray. And see, prayer is just a conversation with God. If you don't have but 5 minutes, you can spend that 5 minutes in prayer. And it doesn't matter your posture. It matters that you pray. You can pray washing the dishes. You can pray driving your car. You don't have to always be on your knees. You can pray lying in the bed. Some people that are sick flat on their back, but they're praying and seeking the Lord. Amen. And see, you start small. If you can't pray but 5 or 10 minutes, or read your word, or get you one scripture and hold on to that. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I shall not lack for anything. And you speak that and quote that every single day. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. The other E. He equips us for what is ahead. We've already been equipped. The scripture says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." You have been given all power. Once you surrender to God, you're already equipped with what you need. But what you got to do, you got to use it. See, the policemen, they're equipped with guns and those tasers and billy clubs. They're equipped. But if they come upon a situation and they don't use it, it's doing them no good. Amen. So God has already equipped us with everything that we need. T in reset. It stands for, we must thank him for the promises that he has given us in his word. The scripture says, we are clean through the word which has been spoken unto us. God has cleansed us. He saved us. And he just wants us to repeat his word back to him. Lord, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm sanctified. I'm justified. I'm redeemed from the hand of the enemy. All God wants us to do is give that word back to him and thank him and praise him. Amen. And we got to be like Paul. Paul said, I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God. I won't let height, depth, principalities, powers, I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God. And if you need a reset on today, if you want to say, Lord, I recommit my life to you, all you got to do is come down to this altar and the prayer intercessors will help pray with you. And then we will go into our baptism. Lord, I need a reset. I'm not talking about you. Sister Mitchell need a reset. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done in and through my life. But I need a reset, God, so that I can do more. So that I can bring people into the kingdom. So that people can look on us like they did Peter and John. He said, money I don't have, but such as I have. The power that I have. The joy that I have. The peace that I have. I give it to you. Pray my strength in the Lord.
Let's give a hand to God for that word and the urging us to reset.